It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, here we go again. Seriously, we gotta get a lawyer or something. I mean, it's the evil universe. There've gotta be tons of lawyers.
There are tons of lawyers here.
Yeah, they should. We should get this sorted out. Have you been a victim of hosting a podcast that wasn't your fault? I can get you.
Well, I have a feeling it's our
restitution.
But we shouldn't admit that it is.
Yes. I was trying to explain to someone who doesn't listen the other day, but who knows you, about evil William versus regular William. And
well, that I'm sure that was interesting.
Take a penny, leave a penny thing, and they're like, yeah, no, that makes sense. I was like, otherwise, exactly the same guy. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that specifically just sends out disinvitations.
Yep.
We just are constantly sending people notes saying, we don't want you on our podcast.
Yep.
And never the other way around. I am Evil Tony.
And I'm Evil William. And people just send back notes that say, well, I didn't want to be on your stupid podcast anyway.
Sometimes. That's actually pretty rare. More commonly, they send ones that say, what? Who? Magical what? Or, I told you I wouldn't date you. Stop harassing me through the thin veneer of this podcast thing.
I don't think I've seen those.
Yeah, no, those are the ones I send.
Okay.
Only certain ones. David Hasselhoff. Evil David Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff said no?
No, he said he wouldn't date me and I should stop.
Or be on the podcast, though.
I don't think he ever thought it was legitimate.
Oh.
I think he just thought I was using an excuse to contact him, despite the no contact order.
I'm pretty sure in the...
Not going to say he was wrong.
I'm pretty sure in the who's going to show up on the podcast pool, I bet that he would show up, so I guess I owe you money on that one.
He's fairly mercenary, but I mean, I think that just goes to how terrible and uninfluential this show is.
Mm-hmm.
The only podcast in the world so bad David Hasselhoff wouldn't show up to.
Nope.
Although we could still probably get Eric Roberts. He's done podcasts before.
Is he Julia Roberts' brother?
He is. He is Julia Roberts' semi-estranged brother.
Oh, really?
I don't remember the details. Let me rephrase. I don't know the details. I don't know either of them personally. But they are somewhat estranged. I think it may be basic family member makes good and refuses to, you know, give money to / create jobs for other family members, and those family members are resentful and blah, 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 blah. But
so
I don't know.
Give Julie any work, huh?
That's what it comes down to, yes. When he hit it big, when he started...
He was in the Coca-Cola Kid.
The Dead Need Women.
And it was a hit.
What I love, there's a podcast dedicated to him.
Just to him?
Yes.
Hmm.
Well, you can do that because he's been in so many things and he keeps being in so many things. And it's dedicated to him and the premise that he's the easiest to get. Like that he won't turn anything down. And they got him to show up on their podcast. And they never thought they would. And on the podcast, he's like, what do you got to learn? I don't turn down anything.
It's not like he's a bad actor.
No, that's the thing. He is not a bad actor. I have seen him in things where he has done an amazing job.
Yeah.
And I have seen him in things that I I feel like whatever it would cost to get a hold of his agent was more than the budget of that movie. Like, I have seen him in legit amateur things. Like, I mean, not technically they weren't, but like stuff that was clearly just a couple people with video cameras using their house. Like shit where there is nobody you have ever heard of or will ever hear of again in this movie. Also Eric Roberts. he does anything. More so than even, you know, the classic ones. More so than Samuel L. Jackson. More so than Christopher Walken. More so than Luis Guzman. All of those. Those guys, I feel like, just love working and they'll be in anything. Eric Roberts was cursed by a witch or something? And he just can't turn things down. So, yeah. For those of you just joining us, this is the Eric Roberts Hour. I can't say that. I feel like that might be the name of that podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know. no. This is a show. Here's how it works. There's a hat. It's magical. Has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. People, somewhere, I don't know who, maybe you, write into that email address, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, that kind of shit. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. A couple of losers from a different dimension from this one draw the note cards out of the hat, read them on the air, talk about them until they're bored, do that for about an hour. That's supposed to be the whole show. That is frequently very little of the show. When they can't or won't or, I mean, don't do it, then we have to do it. And we're from a different universe, and we're evil.
The evil ultimate universe, that's right.
Yes. We always wondered why we were called that, and then we discovered other universes in it.
Yeah, now we know what it means.
It's like that bit in Dinosaurs where they were like, this is 3 billion da-da-da-da-da BC, and then next year is going to be, what are we counting down to?
Yep. Kind of like that.
I think that show was ahead of its time or something. That show did not do well, and I didn't like it at the time, but in retrospect, it was a pretty good show.
We also didn't realize until we did
Dinosaur
this
baby notwithstanding.
Did this alternate universe thing that everyone over here has a goatee. We didn't know that.
No. We didn't know that that's what that was called.
Yeah.
Or that it was possible to not have it. Or
yeah, everything had one, so
we just called that your face.
Yeah, basically. And then we realized, oh, that's a thing on the face as far as the people in the other universe are concerned. It's been very educational.
And I hate that.
Yeah. We hate education.
Somebody at work is going to, or may have already, depending on when this is, go to Abu Dhabi for something.
Okay.
And it constantly cracks me up. And this is such an ugly American thing. I know where and what Abu Dhabi is.
Okay.
But in my head, it's just the place Garfield was always shipping Nermal to. Because it was.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, that was his thing.
I didn't
know
that.
That was Garfield's go-to move with Nermal, was to put him in a box and mail him to Abu Dhabi.
I didn't know that.
Because back in those days, that Abu Dhabi to Jim Davis was the equivalent of Cucamonga and Timbuktu.
Yeah.
It was a funny place. Abu Dhabi. So I keep imagining we're just going to shove him in a cardboard box and send him that way.
I see.
Because he's the world's cutest employee. That from that?
I don't know.
I'll look into it. Maybe we can do that later.
Okay.
We're doing secret stuff. Don't bug us.
Yeah, come on.
All right, so how's your thing been?
Oh, golly.
So much?
Man, I can't even tell you.
And twice. And like.
Well.
This big.
The thing about it is, Nobody saw it coming.
Yeah, no, no.
And
no.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
The surprise look on everybody's
yeah,
faces.
Yeah, and it just, and then fire and that little kid.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, on a Wednesday.
I guess they should have thought of that part. But
yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's the kind of thing you can only do once. So
absolutely, absolutely.
You know, nobody's gonna.
I mean, it's all over, but the lawsuits.
Yeah. And those will drag out.
At the end of the day, at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
No, that's a real thing. Trish and I were once out to eat, and there was a table nearby. It was really kind of drunk.
Mm.
And one
the
of the
people at the table.
Yes. No, the table was drunk. It was staggering everywhere. No, and one of the people was kind of drunk and was prognosticating on a lot of things, which is my favorite kind of drunk person. Mm. Let me tell you something about immigrants. You know, that kind of bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
And this was mostly her personal life. And she was saying so. And Trisha was writing down the things. But the one that stuck with us that we still use to this day... is she goes with the most pointless, ubiquitous cliche in the world. She says, at the end of the day, but then she adds to go to it, at 6 p.m., what she got to remember is, and I don't even remember what her point was after that.
Because that's the end of the day.
Yes. So we use that now. And if either of us ever is actually saying, in a sense, like, so at the end of the day, the other one immediately is always like, at 6 p.m.
Yes, that's what, like, yes, that's exactly what I mean. Specifically at 6 p.m.
Because at the end of the day is the dumbest fucking phrase.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
It's up there with it is what it is. Or just saying. These are terrible phrases.
Why? What's wrong with any of those phrases?
Well, it is what it is.
Is a tautology.
Is a lazy tautology.
I suppose.
Is by definition, like, the...
But it just means that's how it goes.
It's the one of tautologies. Like, it's the base tautology. All right. All tautologies, which are still fucking useless in my opinion.
Yes, yes.
Sprout out of that one. It is what it is. And people use this like it's profound. Just saying, and for the record, I use all of these. I never claim to be... I claim to be perfect several times, but I'm not, and I use these. Just saying... full disclosure. My first girlfriend in college said just saying all the time, and it pissed me off. But it's also a really bad one, because what does it mean?
It means... Okay, when someone says just saying, it means that...
Well, let's start with the fact that they say some shit...
Okay.
And then say, at the end,
yeah.
Just saying.
What do you mean?
I'm not talking about when somebody says, I'm just saying that blah, blah, blah. I'm saying when somebody's like, you know, those pants would fit if you hadn't had cheesecake last night. Just saying.
Well, I think in that context, I've heard it used in other contexts, but in that context, I think it means... I think the person's trying to say that they're trying to communicate something to you about your relationship in a way by saying, you know, I'm telling you this. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm not trying to tell you you should stop eating cheesecakes. But
I am telling you you should stop eating cheesecakes.
I'm telling you that if you're bothered by this thing, you might consider the cheesecake situation.
Yeah, no. See? See? And you can't even, like, fucking get through it.
I can't.
Because you know how bullshit it is.
Okay,
it's,
okay, okay.
I'll tell you what. The cooler version of the same bullshit would be, you know, a person more inclined to butt in would tell you, you should eat less.
Yeah, 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 right.
So, in other words, I'm not going to tell you a thing.
But I'm
here,
now going
to
tell you
a
the thing.
Thing.
You're right. That is
except
what it is.
It's even fucking backwards.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
I'm going to tell you a thing. I didn't just tell you
yeah,
a
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, you're right. That's exactly what it is.
I hate them.
You're right. That's exactly
what
it is.
What was the other one?
It's
what
kind
it
of a passive-aggressive thing in a way.
Kind of?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I never thought about it like that.
Yeah, no, it sucks. And that's the thing, is it's always a little bit like no offense, except no offense can work, but it's like if you said no offense, your face is really fucking ugly. Like, you can't say no offense if there's legitimately offensive stuff in what you're going to say.
But it seems like I've said just saying about other, like, not about cheesecakes or whatever, but like, when do I use it? It doesn't seem like I use it in that context when I say just saying. Well, I think I've used it in circumstances where someone asks me for my opinion on something. And so when I say just saying, I'm kind of reminding the person that they asked me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you did ask me. Yes. Don't be mad now that I'm telling you the truth.
And
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That kind of deal.
And in that case, I would just, I would say it's superfluous.
Yeah.
If somebody asks you your opinion and you give it, just say, because here's the thing. When you say, just saying, I'm only saying, as opposed to...
Well, as opposed to...
I'm not literally punching the cheesecake out of your hand before it gets to your mouth?
As opposed...
What else? As opposed to not saying,
no,
I suppose.
As opposed to directing, I think, is what it's usually supposed to mean. Like, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you what you should think. I'm telling you what I think because you asked. Well, that's when I say it in that context. Because they asked me, I tell them, and then they respond like I'm telling them what they should do or think. And then, oh, you asked me
and
what
then,
I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the future, I would say that instead. Yes. Yeah. Don't get hooked up with that just saying crap.
Okay.
But usually, almost always, just saying is an unsolicited
thing. No, yeah, I hear what you're, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think you're right about that.
And it's like, yeah, it's like you're trying to get out of any ramifications for the criticism you just made.
You've said it perfectly when you said it's like,
I'm telling you this thing. Yeah, by the way, I'm not going to tell you this
thing.
Yeah,
it is exactly like that. You're exactly right.
And again, I say this all the time. what it is, just saying, at the end of the day is another one.
No, what's wrong with the end of the day? Because it just means when everything's said and done, basically. You know, at the end of things, at the end of everything or whatever, all
or
said and
day.
Done.
So can I mix it up? Told, can I be like, at the end of the hour?
I suppose.
Yeah, that would be weird.
But that's not the expression.
Yeah, I guess I give it a pass depending on what comes afterward.
What I like about the saying it's 6 p.m. thing is like it takes it from being an expression to being something else.
No,
I really do mean.
When all is said and done at 6 p.m. and discounting whatever happens at 6:30.
Or 6:01.
Yes.
I love it.
Ignoring all of that.
I love it.
Yeah. and I think she forgot if she was being metaphorical or not. It's also a weirdly specific time for your day to end.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
The work day would normally end at 5. You would go to bed sometimes. 6 p.m. is a weird time. You're like, day over.
Well, that is after that it's evening, I suppose.
Your evening carries all the way to like 5:45.
I don't know.
Your afternoon carries. See, that to me is wrong too.
I don't know.
These people are horrible.
Or night, maybe. I think that is how some people divide it up. It's like, if you say good evening, it's between 4 and 6 or something, and you say good night after 6 or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. See, afternoon carries to me probably till 5, and then I'm in evening.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say night hits at like 8 for me.
See, to me, evening
the only
and
thing
night are
six
interchangeable.
Matters. Well, generally, that's true for me, but if you've gotten to my head, evening and night, that's where I would break it. I think I play 6 matters. 6 to me is the platonic dinner time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know that that's true anymore.
The platonic dinner time.
I think that is shifting.
I don't.
To me, that is dinner time. 6 o'clock is the dinner hour.
Oh, yeah. Like, when I grew up, we watched the news at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because the news was on at 6, the local news. Well, actually, we watched national news at 5:30, but anyway, 6 o'clock, we were watching local news and usually eating dinner at the same time while we were watching local news.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was like pretty much like clockwork.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
6 p.m., eat your dinner.
But, you know, and
you
kind of psychologically got the idea that the day was over, and now it's, you know, it's the nighttime, I suppose.
As an adult...
Well, I
And this person was an adult.
I'm just telling you. Yeah, I get it.
I'm like, that's not the cutting off. I mean, you know, maybe she just worked in a job that was 6 p.m.
It's funny,
know.
Though. It's very funny.
It is. So we still use it. But, yeah, these people are terrible. And, again, I use all of these terms all the time.
Have you ever had a conversation in a restaurant that came back to you? Like,
no.
Later on, someone?
No, I don't. I have not. I've done it on other people.
You've overheard a conversation and
then it got, yeah. I've done that.
Really?
I've done that. It's not always at a restaurant, but like in places I've done it. Because this is my thing again. I'm starting to figure out. I may not be that smart. I'm very observant. And one of those things is I eavesdrop, not consciously, but I notice shit. And so I notice what people are talking about nearby. And when somebody's talking outside my cubicle at work, which they are wont to do because it is on the edge of the sort of hallway down the middle, I hear their conversation and they act like it's just the two of them. And it is not. I hear the whole damn thing. And I have totally done that. So, I heard you talking about this earlier. I tend not to because I usually don't give a shit what people are talking about.
Right.
And it usually freaks them out.
Right.
And so I mostly only do it if for some reason I genuinely give a shit or if for some reason I genuinely want to freak that person out.
Sure. Well,
just saying.
Recently I had a pretty huge conversation with a mutual friend about storytelling and whether or not.
Oh, we talked about it. I don't think we talked about this on the podcast, and I talked about
this.
Yes,
we didn't talk about it on the podcast. But I was talking to this mutual friend of ours about storytelling and whether or not what it means if a storyteller deliberately, let's say it's someone like me, and you do what writers are supposed to do. You quote-unquote write what you know. And mm-hmm. So I end up writing a white male character. But after I get halfway through it or even done with it, I realize, oh, you know what? For representation's sake, why don't I just make this a woman or a person of color or a woman of color? Why don't I just do that? And most of the time, you can do that without having to change anything else in the story. Most of the time. I mean, there's exceptions, of course. But most of the time you can do that. You don't have to change anything else in the story because people are people are people. And if, you know, however, whatever personality I gave this character, well, a woman could have that personality or a non-white person could have that personality. It doesn't really matter.
Or it does. That's what the debate's about.
Right. What my friend was saying was that there's something artistically compromising about that decision.
That it becomes inauthentic.
Yes. There's something that becomes inauthentic. So I was having this conversation. I was mostly, my approach to things like this is not to defend my position, because I don't feel like I need to defend my position. I feel like this person, it's, the burden of proof is on them to explain to me why there's something wrong with doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's self-evident that it's not wrong. They need to explain to me why it is wrong, and they often cannot, right? They very often, when I ask people, all right, explain to me what's wrong with that. And of course, sometimes you have to go back and forth with, well, why is it okay? No. It's not my job to say why it is okay. I'm the artist. I made this decision. You have to tell me what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
And they can't, because there isn't anything wrong with it. But that's how the conversation was going. And I often, but what usually happens is, I say they can't, but usually they come up with something. And it's very easy to point out how absurd that something is.
Yeah.
Like to say, well, it's politically motivated. It's like, there were a lot of things in the story that were about politics. You know, when George Lucas wrote Star Wars, he was thinking of the Vietnam War and everything else. Was that wrong for him to use that as fodder for inspiration for his storytelling?
Political motivation in a story is not inherently wrong.
No. I mean, people do it all the time.
And it's very common.
Plus, if it's right what you know, and what you know is politics or a political reality, well, that's what you're going to
write. Also, good old-fashioned feminist mantra, the personal is political.
Sure. So, you know, things like that. Well, it's political. Well, what's wrong with political? Well, it's this. Well, what's wrong with that? Eventually, it came down to, as it always does, there's some unspoken concern or fear on the part of the person you're talking to that they eventually have to admit.
I don't do that. And so I'm worried that because I don't do that, it's wrong. So I have to explain that your thing is wrong.
Right.
So that I don't feel wrong.
Well, and more to the point with this person felt like, first of all, in their arguments, they always made reference to some group of people doing something.
Okay.
And so I had to often say, who's doing that? Right. Who are you talking about? Right now you're talking about a group of people who are shaming you or other people into writing their stories a certain way, or shaming people into liking a certain kind of story. Who's doing that? Tell me who's doing that. And of course, nobody's doing that.
Well, I think some people are, but I mean, they're small groups and they're assholes.
Well, it's, but,
and they're on the internet.
But they speak of it like it's some institutional
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's like there's
like society as a whole is doing this. No,
which isn't happening.
The assholes are doing it.
So anyway, we have this big conversation about this, and eventually, because, again, I'm putting the burden on this person to justify their position, they eventually understand that it's indefensible, and that they're basically imagining these boogeymen, or women, as the case might be, that don't exist. Nobody's shaming this friend of mine or anyone else into only liking certain kinds of entertainment, and so on and so forth. So, it turns out that during this conversation, several hours in a restaurant, one of my wife's coworkers was in the next booth listening to the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
So they come up to her at work a couple days later and say, they didn't know that I was her husband. As far as they knew, I was just a friend and this guy was... your writer friends had a very interesting conversation.
Yeah.
And she said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, I hope we didn't bother you." "Oh, no, it was interesting," which I was relieved to hear because I didn't want to bother anybody, you know, with their dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the first time that's ever happened to me where I have a conversation and people overhear it, and then later I hear back.
The variant of that I get, and Trish and I get, because we work at the same place, especially now because we work in the same building, is there are people who know us each quite well and have no idea that we're married.
Right.
And it's fun for them to find out because it frequently suddenly brings a whole new dimension to their view of each of us.
Yeah, right.
It's like, here's what I know about you, and also I know you're married to that guy, and here's what I know about him. What's really funny right now, because she's in the same building, everybody wants to tell us when they see the other, our spouse. Like,
right.
It's a big thing, yeah. Which it sort of is a thing if we're in different buildings. Like, hey, your spouse was over here. But now they're like, hey, I saw your spouse. Like, yeah, as the crow flies, they're like 30 feet away. Of course you did. Like, that's not a... Just saying. I know, I'm pissing you off because I want you off my lap. By which I mean my stomach, but whatever. All right, draw a thing out of the thing. Magical talking thing.
I was a little relieved. I wasn't just relieved that they said that they weren't bothered. I was relieved that it was a conversation that might actually have been worth listening to, because...
Yeah, no, I'm chomping at it. If they were like, man, I thought he was full of shit. And
yeah,
all
right.
I'd be like, oh, yeah?
Yeah, right.
Explain to me that. And I'd just be like, so, wife, because that's what we call your wife, you should not hang out with that person. They're clearly a jerk, so don't do it.
Jazz wants to know.
What does Jazz want to know?
This is a fantastic question.
This is a question
that I've actually had to wrestle with recently because of some stories that I've written or writing.
Oh, my goodness.
If human life expectancy increased by 100 years,
oh, geez,
how would it affect human culture?
By 100, not to 100.
No, by 100. So
okay.
Maybe people could live almost to 200 years. Yeah.
Oh, wow. There's lots of... elements. And unfortunately, there's lots of factors I would need answers to give a clear picture of.
Well, for example, yes, you'd want to know if the same factors that allowed people to live so long also make people not as fertile, so that they're not having as many babies.
Yeah. Well, and how's the aging situation go?
Oh,
when you're 130, are you the equivalent of like being 50 now?
Yep. Very good.
Or are you a raisin?
Yeah, right. That's a good question.
Because that makes a huge difference. If you're basically just living the last century in a nursing home, is a very different story from, oh, no, you can still be pretty active physically all the way up to your 150s.
Okay, so let's assume, let's take out the most obvious things that are going to screw everything up.
All right.
Let's say that you not only is your life extended 100 years, but you're only like old for the last 20 of it, like normal.
Okay.
And when you're 100, you're middle-aged, so you're okay. Like us when you're 100. And
okay, damn it, I'm middle-aged.
And we'll also say that we'll also take out any impacts to a population, because that becomes a whole other thing.
Yeah, and it's not as interesting.
No, it's not as interesting.
At least for this question. I don't know, but I do find this interesting, because this is a thing that has bugged me many times in stories. The worst example being Highlander, the TV series, is this idea that if people live for hugely longer periods of time, or even indefinitely, somehow they will still have largely the same attitudes, inclinations, and activities as a person who looks the age they appear.
Right.
Because I'm like, when you're 400, you're not fighting a dude with swords over a girlfriend. You're just not.
Doesn't seem like you would.
For
no.
So many reasons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Seems like
there's a lot of shit like that. I'm like, no, these people should not be acting like 30-somethings just because they look like 30-somethings. If they're supposed to be 430-something. But this, I feel like we're already seeing it as life expectancy is increasing. There are age cliques to a degree that I think are not directly related to age, but they tend to be related to attitudes depending on your stage of life, for a combination both of your situation being in that stage of life and your accumulated knowledge and experience. And I feel like if we stretched out an extra 100 years, we would just get a lot more of those stages. So like now, older people, as a whole, not in 100%, but just as a group in general, have different perspective on the world and different goals and different concerns and different social views that are tied into their life experience. I mean, not every old person has the same views, but there are tendencies.
It's hard to say, though, because in the last 70 years, technological changes have created what might actually be artificial generation gaps.
Oh.
Where in previous ages, without such technological change, you wouldn't have...
It would be more consistent,
yeah,
as you age. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, and that throws out the most interesting bit I had, though.
Well, but also, if people are living to 200, that means that children are growing up who know and can, like, have reasonable conversations with their great-great-great-grandparents, for example.
Yeah.
I don't know what impact that would have if you could... I didn't know my great-grandparents. They died... My great-grandparents, mind you, died before I could ever know them. What would it be like if I could know my great-great-great-grandparents? Now, again, that goes back to what you were saying, though. If I'm living in a time where, technologically speaking, my great-great-great-grandparents grew up with the same technologies I did, right? Where, well, let's say for the sake of argument, they also had smartphones.
Yeah.
And I've got a smartphone, and whatever technology comes after that maybe isn't that interesting or that dramatic. Is there going to be a huge difference between us? I mean, they're a lot older, and they've had a lot more experiences, but they're going to know what it's like to have a smartphone when they're 15, because they had a smartphone when they were 15. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
How different is it really?
Well, and
different trends were popular maybe when they were young, like different music or different actors, different movies.
And just in general, the scale of personal accomplishment
goes
off the charts, because things that you talk about spent a lifetime doing, now you've got twice that.
Well,
so you could, so fucking Rolling Stones.
But see, this is a question
could literally tour for 150 years.
Yeah, but this is a question that would need to be asked too, is work. when do you stop working?
Well, and issues of resources becomes a huge thing. But unfortunately, I think that is some basic what do we think the future would look like stuff. So I'm trying to focus on the aspects that are more universal to age. Because it's going to be like, well, if you can be taken care of, if you're fighting to make ends meet for 200 years, then a lot of things won't be different. And if you know you can be, then things will be very different. And those things are not particularly related to you living longer.
But you're assuming that if we're going to speak universal, so the time of your life where people are considering, well, you'd be more useful in a like the time of the life where you're the elder, quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
Where your usefulness is mostly in sharing the experiences you've had because you're not very good at doing the other stuff anymore. That's going to happen when you're in your 150s, basically.
Yeah.
So you could work at a job, say, until you're 150 or 160 years old.
I think there's also a ceiling to expert knowledge in certain areas. Like right now, somebody who has been doing plumbing for 35 years is an expert on plumbing. If we suddenly were living 100 years longer, where it's entirely possible that somebody could be doing plumbing for 115 years,
right.
I don't feel like the 115-year plumber necessarily is a better authority than the 35-year-old plumber.
I'll agree with that.
But then that means I can be a plumber for 35 years and be a goddamn plumbing expert and then switch over and be a painter for 35 years.
That's right.
And that, to me, is fascinating. The capacity that people can get really good at many things. But then there are going to be things where now that you can dedicate over a century just to that one field, your knowledge and understanding is going to far outstrip anything we have in our days
like
now.
Like science, for example.
Yeah, certain scientific fields, probably. Yeah. But yeah, certain areas. And that's the thing. Generational projects and activities you can now do yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to pick? Like, now it's already a thing. Some people, I can't stay in a job for too long. I get bored or whatever.
Right.
That goes wild when it's like you can spend a century in your job if you want to. Or you could have two loves in your life that you spend 50 years on each. Speaking of love,
we
are already at a point where divorce is becoming more common, and people like to say, oh, everybody's, viewing love cheaply. No, we're living longer, and people change over time, and sometimes they change in ways that don't fit together anymore. Divorce can often be an awesome thing, because otherwise you're just stuck in this loveless marriage until you die. Oftentimes it can be like, you know what? We've evolved into two different people, and those people don't marry well.
So you think there would be an increase in people being married more than once if...
I think there's a huge potential for it at that point, because you're going to be growing even that much longer. Yeah. And this is the thing, and I hate to say it, because I adore my wife. I love my marriage so much. I literally cannot imagine what I'm about to say would be like. And especially the way she and I are, I think it's less likely because we do everything together and spend all our time together anyway. But it is possible that as we grow older and become different people, as one does when one gets older and change and, you learn things and stuff, we could become people that don't work together and we could decide this doesn't work. We should stop doing this. And when you add an extra century in there, the potential for change is greater. And therefore, the potential for growing apart is greater.
Yeah, there's probably a bell curve at work here, where on one side of the bell curve you've got people who never get married at all. On the other side of the bell curve, you have people who do get married early and they'll stay married for 100 years. Surely that will happen.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But in the middle of the bell curve, where most of the people are, you're probably gonna have most people are getting two or three times married over the course of that time, because that's gonna be more normal.
And how many times have you heard somebody say, I'm too old to blank now. Yeah. And it can be an occupation. It can be a hobby. It can be a relationship.
Lots of things.
It can be, yeah, so many things.
I'm too old to start dating.
I'm too old to go skydiving.
Yeah.
I'm too old to start to try cocaine.
I'm too old to switch careers.
Switch careers. Yeah. I'm too old to join a commune.
Have kids.
Yeah, all these things. Yeah. Suddenly you got a lot more.
It
seems cool to me because I feel like the diversity and complexity of the human experience would just grow. And I love that. I feel like more people would be doing different things from all other people.
Let me ask you this.
All right.
This is the other side of it.
All right.
Is it possible that the trend that's happening now, which I think is a terrible trend, I think I've talked about it several times and everyone's going to know I've talked about this, might there be a trend where adolescence is stretched out even farther?
Oh, yeah.
So people are, in my opinion, absolutely, wasting even greater portion of their life,
absolutely,
before they decide to get serious about it and, like, do something real with their life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I've got time.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got time is going to become a much bigger thing there. But while there are people that do that,
50 just messing
there are
around
also people that do the opposite.
That's true.
Start
That's
right
true.
From the beginning.
That's true.
And those
That's
people
true.
Have got so much option. But yeah, that would absolutely happen. I would probably be one of those. I'm only 100. Shut up. Yeah, see, I'm just fucked now because part of my thing about timing is Alan Rickman didn't start acting until he was 41.
Oh.
I'm 41.
Oh.
So I could have not started writing till I was 41. So I haven't really finished a book yet.
Mm.
And once I turn 42, I'm like, well, shit. Even Alan Rickman was doing some shit by now.
Even Alan Rickman.
So, yeah, I feel the edge.
Even
there.
Alan Rickman.
I feel the edge.
That's
even
awesome.
Alan Rickman.
That's awesome.
So... Yeah, but no, I definitely think that would be the... And of course, the problem is all of this might be wrong because we can't talk about it in a vacuum. Issues of population, issues of resources.
Yeah, those do matter.
Huge.
I mean, we set them aside so we could talk about it, but the reason is because we can't really talk about it if we don't... I mean, if we don't set them aside, they're so complex.
We can't discuss it, yeah.
Yes.
And issues... There are other issues that would be huge that... We don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't mean because we can't think through the problem. I mean just because the world would happen.
Right.
And while that was happening, things would happen that would matter. Well, and then the obvious one, quite likely that your great-great-grandparents wouldn't have smartphones.
Yes, there's that. Right.
That kind of stuff. So, right. And, yeah, and you say, like... technology creates these artificial things, but that is, I still feel like that's fairly theoretical because the problem is we have more voice these days, so it's really harder to say, yeah, old people back in the day felt more like this. Well, we sort of know that, but the truth is we just have so much more data now.
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm just thinking of, you know, when you go
back... It's kind of like trying to figure out how many gay people there were in the past.
Yeah, when you go back far enough... It seems like for generations, everybody was doing pretty much the same thing with pretty much the same stuff. You know, the only thing that was really going to be different from one generation to the other was if, you know, one generation was in some kind of a war or, you know.
Well, and then we run into the whole Moore's Law thing of, in theory, technological advances are coming faster and faster and faster, which means in theory that wouldn't change just because we're in this hypothetical situation. So
right,
in theory,
right.
These... as you call them, artificial generation gaps, will only get worse.
I suppose, except people are starting to realize that technology's hitting some walls that the law didn't really take into account. But
yeah.
But like you said, that's all complex stuff that we can't really, you know, when we throw it into the mix, it becomes, the question becomes almost unanswerable.
But I think these are, we've hit on the points that seem most likely... All other things being equal, yeah, at the end of the day, at 6 p.m. Just saying. That's how we clean up that phrase. Every time you finish talking, just saying at the end.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Everything. How was your trip? Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Just saying.
Just saying.
So today at work, this guy was telling me about his thing, and then we did this thing, and it was all done, and so yeah, I got a raise. Just saying.
I was gonna do something like that, but it was gonna be with that's what she said. I was gonna say that after time. All kinds of random things, like, and people would either try to figure out. Wait.
There's a short film out of this.
Is that really funny? No, that, or does he not know what he's talking
there's
about?
There's a short film out of this because people finally call you on it and you're like, sorry, I'm a clone, except they changed the sex. And so my original was a woman and they've taken painstaking cares to raise me exactly the same. I'm part of this experiment. So they wanted to see.
So
we're keeping track of what things I do exactly like her. And it turns out that most of what I say is exactly things that she said.
That's what she said. But I never did it. I thought it would be pretty funny. But the problem is, it's harder. It's harder to do fake that's what she says than real ones, because you still want to say it at a time that's going to be maximally confusing. Yes. And that's harder to figure out.
The version of that that my friend and I like to do.
Maximally? Is that a word?
I think it is a word. It's not frequently used, but I think it is technically a cromulent word.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's harder to find those moments than the ones, you know, that people usually say.
The one my friend and I wanted to do, we stole from mostly from Boondocks and also just from stupid, terrible people, is no homo. No homo is a slang term you're supposed to say at the end of something that you're worried could be construed as homosexual.
Like if I say I love you, No homo. Yeah.
Exactly. And he and I really got into using this whenever it either really didn't work.
That's a good
at
one.
All,
I like that.
Or when it really did. So it's like, dude, I seriously want to have sex with you. No homo. Like that kind of thing. And to be fair, we didn't invent this. The South Park guys invented this because they did a movie called Orgasmo, which I don't particularly recommend. And I'm going to spare the plot for you that explains why it's called Orgasmo. But there's a side character in it that kept saying, I don't want to come off as queer or nothing, but, and then he would say something that had nothing to do with homosexuality. But then as it went on, it kind of changed. So like at first it was things like, I don't want to come off as queer or nothing, but Depeche Mode's a really good band. But then later it would be like, I don't want to come off as queer or nothing, but you have really nice eyes. And then later it was like, I don't know if it's queer or nothing, but I'd like to have sex with you.
Recently we were watching a show on the origins of man.
Yeah.
And
I heard that was the book first.
Does
the movie adhere to the book, or
the people who work in the field often, when they're talking about fossils of that are of early hominids, mm-hmm. they'll just call them homo.
Homo, yeah.
So.
Which is why really stupid people freak out when teachers teach their kids that we're all homo sapiens. And they're like, some of us is hetero sapiens. Literally a thing that happens.
So, but then they talk about Australopithecus, right? Which is before homo sapiens.
Yes.
So as a joke, while we were watching it, whenever a person said Australopithecus, I'd said no homo.
Yeah.
My wife thought that was pretty funny.
No, that is good. I like that one.
That's archaeology or paleontologist humor, I guess.
Yeah.
That would be funny if you met a paleontologist that every time they talked about Australopithecus, they said no homo. That'd be funny. I'd really appreciate that.
For a while, we would use that a lot. We'd just say stuff and they just said no homo.
That's one of those jokes.
The less it had to do with anything sexual, the easier it worked.
You know, that's a joke I'm going to keep with me. If I ever meet a paleontologist, I'm going to get them talking about Australopithecus. Whenever they do, I'll go, no homo.
And that's when you find out that everybody has already done that joke to them. That is not a new joke.
You think so? Oh, man, I thought
somebody got it.
I suppose.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Either you told me that before, or I've absolutely heard that before. So.
I thought I came up with it all by myself.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah, I do. Because I never come up with anything all by myself. I just think I do.
This is why that German guy that nobody fucking remembers, this is how he felt when he discovered calculus.
Yeah, the guy, not Isaac Newton?
Exactly, yes! Holy shit, yes! How much does that suck?
Yeah. Because independently, right? I mean,
independently, yeah, right. They both invented calculus, and I can't remember his fucking name.
I can't either. That's sad.
Oh, and there's tons of those. Well, and then there's the ones that are just lying. Like Shackelford, who was the first man to reach the South Pole, I think. Except he absolutely wasn't.
Oh.
His black guide carrying boy was.
I see.
And decades later, we brought this up, but there's plenty of ones that, like, never. Mm-hmm. And also, even when it finds. Well, as somebody in a thing I just recently read brought up, retractions of crazy things don't spread as virally as the crazy things did.
That's right, that's right.
So once you've told everybody that so-and-so is a child molester, even if you later go back and correct that, it's not going to get to all the people that the child molester thing went to. I think it came up recently because there was a doctor who was specifically accused of doing something by a lawyer. They were suing him over something.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost the job, whatever. And 2 years later, the lawyer is now admitting that that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
But there's fucking nothing to be
sure,
done
sure.
Because the doctor can't get a job. He's incredibly qualified in his field. But he goes to someplace, and they're like, we Googled you. And we know it's not true now. But people Google doctors before they decide if they want to come see them. So nobody's going to come see you.
Right.
So we can't hire you.
Right, right.
So, like, it's permanent damage there.
Yep.
And it's the same thing. Like, everybody says Isaac Newton invented calculus. Even people who know, like me, says Isaac Newton invented calculus. And somebody's like, actually, it was just, and I'm like, okay, yes, I know that. And it's like, yeah, you know that, but you didn't say that. So it's like he didn't invent it. So that poor bastard. Not to mention, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, at least a third of everything ever invented claimed to have been invented by a man.
Yeah, right.
And half the things everybody thinks Thomas Edison invented.
Yeah. And lots of the places discovered that supposedly nobody had ever been to before.
Oh, God.
Well, of course somebody had been there before. Come on. In 300,000 years of human history, no homo. Anyway,
I don't know if it worked.
No, it didn't work there. It did not work.
No,
I just wanted to say it.
In the Triassic era, no homo.
No homo. Yeah, that'll show those creationists and who want to think that human beings have existed since the beginning.
To be fair, they think the beginning was 6,000
years
ago.
That's true.
So we've got other problems. I can't. Like, I'm a mature person, and I understand that homo has not been a common slang term for, like, all of human history. But the dude who went with Homo erectus, like, at no point did somebody, like, go... It's too on the nose.
What about deciding to name that one planet Uranus?
Right. And everybody's like, it's actually Uranus. And I'm like, so then it just sounds like urine. So, but to be fair, that's a different language that then
you could pronounce it closer to the way the Greeks did, Uranus or something like that.
And Homo erectus is, it's in Latin. Yeah, but it's in made up Latin that we did later. Like, most of the Latin terms, it's not like when people were sitting around talking Latin, they discovered this shit. No. We wanted to sound cool about it in, like, the 50s.
I don't know. I don't know if they thought
but
it sounded
maybe it's not
vulgar
a, I don't know.
Back then.
I wonder about that stuff.
Maybe it's
and what
you.
It really is linguistically. Back then, you say homo, people say, what is homo? What? So, like, the milk? The homogenized milk? Is that what you're talking about? Oh, I did see that someplace. Somebody had... unpasteurized, unmonetized milk, and they said no homo.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. I've had that sometimes where somebody says something. Yeah, I always, that's my favorite, is when a woman speaks in my presence and then I say, that's what she said.
Yeah, like, there you go. Literally. She just said it.
I do that, now that I think of it, way more than I should be okay with. Because it's not that funny, and I do it a fair bit.
Well.
But I always like that joke. I'm like, no, she literally said it just now. Yeah. Only works if you know how to putt.
No homo.
That one is a Cosby Show episode, late season Cosby Show episode.
Oh, I don't know.
Olivia, you know, Raven Simone's character.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Olivia. She, something on TV, this is back in the day where they had the numbers, the toll numbers, like, call us for the joke of the day, mm-hmm. or call us mm-hmm. and talk to Santa, and shit like mm-hmm. that. And they was at the height of that shit. And so on TV, they're like, joke of the day, that's so funny, call and listen. And so, ask your parents' permission first. And so she goes into the kitchen. She's like, can I make a phone call? And he clips in there, and he's like, yeah, sure. And so she goes back out. She's like, and she picks up the phone. And she listens, and she comes back. And she's like, I want to tell you a joke. He's like, what? And she says, hold on. She goes back out. She listens. She comes and says, the two men were playing golf. He's like, okay. She's like, two men were playing golf. Like, what? That's not a joke. That's just like the setup. She's like, okay, hold on. She goes back out. And the whole time the phone's sitting there.
Oh.
And so she picks up again and listen. And he says, like, it's just a setup. You need like a punchline. She goes, she comes back and she says, it only works if you know how to putt. And he said, what? He says, I said, it only works if you know how to putt. And he's like, that doesn't make any sense. She's like, hold on. She goes back and he finally follows and sees him on the phone. Like, what do you do? And he finds out it's like 8 cents per minute, or no, like $8 per minute or whatever. Mm. He's like, have you had this on the whole time? So, yeah, so I like to do that every once in a while.
Not the whole joke.
The classic one is, that's not, and then she says, that's not my pineapple, I think. And it's from, I think Fargo. It's from some Coen Brothers movie where there's like four different times where you come in on somebody telling people this particular joke, and that's the punchline, but you never hear the rest of the joke.
Mm.
And, like, different people, because, like, there's a scene where this guy's telling it to these guys, and then later one of those guys is telling it to somebody else. Mm. And you only ever hear the punchline. I think that's what it is. And she's like, and she said, that's not my pineapple. And that's all you get. So I was like, let's build a joke around that. All right, so let's just wrap this up now, because
okay.
That's good. And, I don't know. Keep listening. Don't keep listening. We don't care. I suppose if you don't, then maybe we don't have to do it. So stop listening. And otherwise, those other guys will talk to you next week. Bye.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.